Thanks, Matt. That was fun. I love the way Matt talks because he says it in such a cool way. It's always great. He helps me to be younger. So, in my speech, anyway. So we've been working through through the book of Acts, and today we're on Acts chapter 20. And so we've been looking at different parts of Acts and how it just portrays the early church. And we're learning about what the Holy Spirit has been doing, or what the Holy Spirit did in the early church as it was developed and as it was built. And so we're reading about Paul and Paul's journey currently and some of the exciting things that Paul did within his ministry. And today's sermon title is Adventures or Adventure. Actually, it's Adventures. That's what I wrote. So Adventures, basically how Paul's journey, his whole ministry journey was this adventure after adventure after adventure of what the Holy Spirit was doing in him and through him and around him. And it was in these amazing stories of what Paul was able to do. And the thing is, all of us are on this adventure we call life. Now, it's not exactly how Paul's adventure played out, but it is something where our adventure, we need to recognize the adventure within our lives and to embrace the adventure that God is calling us into. One of the things we're going to do later on this afternoon with our GPC neighborhood walk is to figure out what adventure God is calling us into in the neighborhood surrounding Grace Point. And it's not only that, but it will help us to kind of learn that as we go for walks in our own neighborhood, that we can again interpret and listen to God. If it's a prayer, it's a listening prayer to what God is saying to you about what he's doing in your neighborhood and how he might want you to respond. And so that's basically what it is. And it's basically discerning the adventure that God is calling us into. So let's look at Acts chapter 20 and look at some of the adventures that happened for Paul in this chapter. Now, I believe our scripture reading starts at verse 13, but I'm gonna back up to verse 7. You're not going to have it up on the screen, but you can look at it in your phone, or if you brought like a paper Bible, then you can look at it there. But Acts chapter 20, we're going to look at verse beginning at verse 7. I'm not going to read the first 7 verses because there's a whole bunch of names, and I really struggle with all those names. And so I don't want to embarrass myself, but those are important too, and I'll refer to those a little bit later on. Anyway, so picking up at verse 7. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Now, this is Luke talking and writing the story about Paul. So Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept talking until midnight. Now, you get a pastor preaching, and they sometimes just don't stop. That's what was going on here. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. On and on. Like, I don't know if that's the literal translation from Greek, but it says on and on. So that means he was kind of rambling. It was going on forever. And when he was sound asleep, this is Eutychus, he fell to the ground from a third story window and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, so he didn't even stop, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. So sometimes there's a great purpose in a really, really long sermon. That's all I'm saying. And we don't have any third story windows. If you fall asleep, you'll fall out of your chair. It's not a long fall. You'll be okay. So here we read on that Paul has a farewell to the Ephesian elders. And it says this: "When we went on ahead to the ship and sailed to Athos, where we were going to take Paul aboard, he had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Athos, we took him aboard and went to Mytilene." Yeah, sure. "The next day, we set sail from there and arrived at Chios. The day after, we crossed over Samos. On the following day, arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus. Paul from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, you know, sorry, something happened here. You know, where are we? You know, I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and tears in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me. The task of testifying the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I could declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God, keeping watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. See, we're fascinated with stories of adventure, aren't we? We love a good adventure story. We love reading it. Sometimes we like living it. It's like, oh man, this is going to make a good story someday when you have something that goes wrong or some kind of adventure that you're on. I remember stories of running out of gas in the middle of the night because I was irresponsible. And I was rescued by somebody who just happened to be driving by, or getting stuck in a snowdrift because I thought that I could get through it, or driving through rivers, going on a four-wheel drive thing in a four-wheel drive road in a two-wheel drive truck and going through rivers until we couldn't get any further and got stuck and had to find a way to get out, or having no idea where I am in a foreign country because I don't have a phone or a map or a GPS. Those are the adventures that happen in our lives sometimes, or that have happened to me. I remember going camping just this past summer with a couple of friends, and we went on this long hike, and we thought we were close to the parking lot where the truck was parked, and so we decided to just kind of rest on a beach next to a lake for a little bit and watch a storm come in, and the storm was getting closer and closer and closer. We thought, okay, well, maybe we should go back to the truck and just, you know, get out of the rain. And then we realized that we miscalculated and we were another 3 kilometers away from the truck, that we had to keep walking in the rain, worried about the fact that there was a lightning storm coming. Well, that's a good story, right? It's an adventure that we get to be on. Now, it wasn't exactly the safest thing, but it was fun because we made a mistake and it was funny. And we had a good laugh about it later on as we dried off. But the thing is, sometimes we think that in Paul's ministry, that it was all of this calculated stuff, but really it was this adventure that as he traveled and ministered, he went as far as he could possibly go, as far as he could possibly go to be able to share the good news of the gospel with the people there, to plant churches, to raise up disciples, to find leaders in those communities, to be able to have that sustainable ministry long term. And it worked. It worked because the gospel kept moving, because churches kept being planted, and because things kept happening throughout the world beyond Paul's life. But we have these adventures of Paul, don't we, where there's these discipleship journeys where Paul made deep connections and relationships with each stop on his journey. And sometimes even preaching way too long and putting people to sleep, but having the opportunity to raise someone from the dead because he put them to sleep in a window. It's not a good idea to sleep in a window, especially if it's open, just so you know. And then there was this traveling ministry that he would travel from city to city, being warned by the Holy Spirit that prison and worse things were going to happen to him potentially. Maybe not this city, but the next city. And how that was a part of his journey and part of his story that would unfold later on in his life. In the beginning of this chapter, Luke records a lot of detail about places and traveling, and even in this passage that we read. And this was possibly just to emphasize the ambition and the influence of Paul's ministry as he entered into the adventure and the journey that God has called him into. And then Paul's urgency and the calling was more important than building a life for himself. He said, I consider myself worth nothing for the cause of Christ, for the cause of sharing the message of Jesus Christ. And that was Paul's calling of his life. Now, I'm not saying that all of us need to consider that calling in our lives, right? We're not Paul. Well, some of us are named Paul, but that doesn't mean we're the Apostle Paul. But God has called us into an adventure within our lives. And sometimes we kind of misplace some of the important things in our lives and put them in place of what God is calling us to. Because the thing is, you ask, how far did Paul go? If you were to draw a circle on a map of how far Paul went, it really wasn't that far, because it was only where he could go by foot or by boat. That's it. And the boats were slow. And so there was only so far that Paul could go. And a lot of his time was spent just traveling and just walking. And so he would have to make stops along the way. Well, each stop that he made was a new adventure, was a new way and a new opportunity to spread the gospel, to share the message of Jesus in those places. And so anywhere he could walk or take a boat, that's where he went. But you see, in our world, we can go anywhere, can't we? In 24 hours, I can be just about anywhere in the world, right? Isn't that incredible? We can be anywhere in the world and still connect with our loved ones. We have those phones. We can video chat with people. And it's absolutely incredible the things that we can do nowadays, that we don't even have to go there to be able to connect with someone, as long as we can get used to this whole technology thing. Because it is a little bit different doing a video conference, isn't it? It's not quite the same as being in the same room, but sometimes it can be good enough to connect with somebody because you're just not able to be in the same room for a while. But it's absolutely incredible. It's these wonderful opportunities that we have where we can reach anywhere in the world. And that exciting, that reality is an exciting opportunity, and yet it can also be extremely overwhelming, isn't it? Because the thing is, because we can go anywhere in the world, we can be anywhere in the world, we can connect to the whole world, there's just way too many options to be able to do that, and it's overwhelming. And sometimes we need to slow down, and each of us have a pace or an influence of connecting, because it's not about just being there. It's not about just having lots of friends that we don't really know and we've never even really met sometimes. But our pace of life is limited to the pace of our human connectedness, because that's what's really important, isn't it? What we do, all the accomplishments that we have, are not as important as the connectedness that we have to God and to others. That's the most important thing that we can do, is to connect with God and connect with each other. And there's only so fast that we can do that. And I think sometimes we need to slow down our lives and the pace of our lives and recognize how it is limited by the pace of our connectedness to God and to each other. And sometimes we feel just kind of disconnected. You ever have that where you just kind of feel disconnected? Disconnected from your family, disconnected from God, disconnected from your coworkers or your friends, and you just kind of feel like, oh, I just feel so and perhaps that's the pace that you're going at, that you need to slow down, to reflect,
to be able to connect with God, to be able to connect with each other, and to slow down our pace so that we can do that. Maybe simplify things. Maybe learn that word no once in a while so that you can have space to have that connectedness. Luann mentioned that we had a staff retreat this week, and one of the goals of the staff retreat was to retreat. And sometimes a retreat is filled with all sorts of things that we want to do, things that we need to plan, and all those sorts of things. We did a little bit of that. But really what I recognized was just the need for us to connect with God. And we were in this beautiful setting of nature and everything like that. And it's like, what do you see? What do you hear as you walk through the forest? How is God speaking to you? And just a time to pause and to reflect and just to slow down and to allow our minds and our connectedness with God to go as fast as we can walk, as opposed to how fast we can drive or fly or move. Because, friends, there is an adventure that God is calling us into as individuals, and there's an adventure that God is calling us into as Grace Point Church. God has an adventure for each of us in our own communities to care and to minister to Edmonton, right here in our neighborhood in around Grace Point, but also in your neighborhoods, in your workplaces, in your schools, and wherever you are, wherever you work, wherever you learn, or wherever you play, is a part of what God is calling you into, and that is your adventure that He's leading you into. And it's a beautiful thing that God places within our lives, and that, friends, is our adventure. But then Paul is talking about that next chapter. He's had this long adventure with the people of Ephesus, and he has this place where he needs to go, and so he invites them to meet with him, and he's kind of closing a chapter within his ministry with the church in Ephesus, and he's saying goodbye. And that's a part of this whole adventure that we have, isn't it? Is that discipleship has this beginning. This adventure of life has a beginning. And Paul's early journeys and his deep relationships, his long stays in Ephesus, where he was building community, where he's planting churches, where he's developing leaders, and it's absolutely amazing. And that was the beginning of his ministry. And then there was the middle, where Paul took time to invest more in those deep relationships, to do more developing in leaders and discipling them, to be able to lead the church, because he knew that he wasn't going to be there all the time. So he's like, okay, guys, here's some things that you need to learn. Here's some ways that you need to deepen your faith in Jesus. And here are ways that you want to be able to minister. And then go do it. Go be the church in Ephesus. And to raise up young leaders, that's essentially the work of the church. That's essentially the work of leaders within God's, within the community of Jesus, is to raise up leaders, to raise up disciples who will carry on God's ministry. And for Paul, it was when he was no longer there. And for us, sometimes it's when we're no longer there. And that's what's important. So it has a middle. And then there's that end. And that's the thing, that no matter what is going on around us, no matter what we're participating in, it has a beginning, it has a middle, and it also has an end. And for Paul, his time with them was now coming to an end, and there was a sadness, a grief, a bitterness in the end, and that there will never see his face again. They were struck with grief on that, and it makes sense that they would have grief, that they will never see Paul's face again. And there's a grief in an aspect of ministry that each of us go through, because we know that there's a beginning. We know that there's a middle, and we know that sometimes there's endings within our lives of relationships, of mentorships, of whatever that might look like, of ministries that we've been involved in. I've reflected recently in all the great disciplers of our movement, just some of the ones that I know of. And there's so many that I can think of if I were really to take a lot of time doing this, the ones that I didn't know or books that I've read. And this is about the Church of God movement, just alone. And these are people that I journeyed in life with a little bit, either through reading with them or going to seminars or having conversations with them, and who have moved on into eternity. And for me, I still kind of grieve some of those losses. Of those people who really spoke into my life, spoke into the Church of God life. I think of Gil Stafford, who authored many, many books. Brilliant man. I think of Reverend Hazen, who spoke into my life personally, into many other lives as he led Gardner College. There's another institution that we had lost.
I remember John Howard, who spoke into my life, or John Bruno. I remember Mariana Imabi and Richard Imabi, who spoke into my life. I remember Mina and Gordon Sheik, Jarvis View, Harold McBain. Now, some of you are thinking, I have no idea who these names are, Dave. You just made them up. I did not make them up. These are real people. But they are ones who paved the way for our church, paved the way for many churches within the Church of God movement to be able to exist, to be able to have a theological distinctive and sound theology, to be able to know who we are as a church, who we are as a movement. And these are just the ones that I've known, but there are so many others throughout history within our movement. And then you look at other churches and other denominations and how many people have spoken into there. And they've come, they've had a beginning, they've had a middle, and they've had an end to their ministry. Whether it be because they couldn't do it anymore or because they'd passed on into eternity. And there's a loss of voice in ministry in their absence. And I'm feeling and sensing that loss. And each loss brings those who have benefited from their teaching to a place of more responsibility and leadership. And that's the scary part, because that's the adventure that the older we get. I used to always think that I was the young guy, and I have more gray hair now. I'm not the young guy anymore, and I'm the one who has to be some of that voice in the movement to be able to help us and to be able to speak into the message of Jesus and that adventure that we're on as Grace Point Church, as the Church of God movement, and the ministry that God has called us into. But there are these goodbyes that we go through fairly often. When a person's ministry comes to an end or a departure is near, there's a necessary ending to a practice, a place that a person leaves or maybe passes away into eternity. But there's a cycle of discipleship that it has this beginning, the middle, and the end. And the end is sometimes a launch into a ministry, but the person might be moving away or sometimes into eternity. But at Grace Point and in our lives, we take the ministry investing in young people seriously. That's why we have Pastor Sarah. That's why we have Matt, to be able to really maximize the investment that we have in our young people. And Pastor Sarah does not see the children's ministry as childcare so that you can be in the service. That's not how she sees it. That's not how her team sees it. They want to invest in your children to be able to help them know about Jesus, to be able to help them develop as disciples. That is the goal, friends. And that continues on into our youth group, where Matt is like, I just want to see young people grow. I want to see our leaders develop as leaders so that they can lead those young people and disciple those young people as volunteers. And so we have these incredible people who volunteer sometimes on a weekly basis to be able to invest in young people. And even when it comes to nursery, it's not just about holding little children. It's about praying with them. It's about interacting with them. It's about helping them experience the love of Jesus, even as little babies and toddlers. Friends, that's what we want to be. That's what we want to do at Grace Point Church. Because the fact of the matter is, we all won't be here forever, will we? And I want to see Grace Point Church last a really, 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 really long time. And it's absolutely countercultural in this day and age for a church to survive and a church to thrive. The odds are against us when you look at the world. But here's the thing. The odds have always been against us, haven't they? They've always been against us. And the church exists because of the Holy Spirit. The church exists because God wants the church to exist to be able to spread the gospel, to be able to develop disciples, to fulfill the Great Commission and the Great Commandment in our world. And so there is always a place for the church. And then you're asking, well, why are so many churches throughout North America and the world closing down? Well, it could be that, like many ministries, there sometimes is an end to certain ministries. But each end has a new beginning. Here's a beautiful example. I think I've mentioned this before, that I remember when I was working with our district leadership, there was a church in Bigger Saskatchewan that was just not sustainable anymore. And it wasn't growing. It wasn't reaching the neighborhood. And there was a building there. And so they decided to close down the church and sell the building. And I was at a church planting congress. It was a workshop. Just basically helping church planters figure out how to plant a church. And I met this guy, and his name was Dave. And it's like, Daves are great, aren't they? I met this guy, his name was Dave. And I just got to know him a little bit. And I said, hey, Dave, like, where are you planting a church? He said, I'm planting a church in Bigger Saskatchewan. I'm like, what? Who plants a church in Bigger Saskatchewan? Because it's not big, even though it's called Bigger. It's very small. You would miss it if you didn't know it was there. But for him, I'm like, okay, tell me more. I've got goosebumps right now. Tell me more about this church plant. And he was so excited because he said, I grew up in the community, and I just feel the passion. I feel the calling of God to be in this community and to reach the people in this community. I'm like, this is incredible. This is so amazing. Because, friends, what happens is one thing ends. God's work does not. God's work begins and cycles. Because each end is a new beginning with God. Each goodbye is a new hello for God. And so there are these new adventures that God calls us into. And that might just be the adventure that we've always been on, because sometimes that comes to an end or comes to a close. But there's a new adventure for us. There's a new adventure for our church to discern the place that God has placed us here in Southwest Edmonton. Now, I started coming to this church first in, I think, 2012, 11, somewhere on there. 13, I don't know. I can't remember exactly when it was. I think it was 2011. Okay, and so when this church was first built, it was kind of in the middle of nowhere. I remember when I moved to Edmonton, it was just a field with a school that was shut down. Now it's a thriving school, beyond capacity, surrounded by a whole neighborhood. And there's continual development that is happening within this community. And so in the last 10 years, in the last 15 years, this community has transformed and has changed completely. And it's changed around us. And are we caught up to it? Because God has placed us in this community. And that's why we want to do the neighborhood walk, is to discern what is this community? What is happening in this community? How is God at work in this community? What is He calling us into in this community? Because if we call Grace Point Church home, even if we don't live in this community, that's okay. But this is a part of our ministry, is in this community. And then also you have the ministry within your own communities as well. And so our GPC neighborhood walk is about discerning what's happening in this community so that you and your family or your spouse or your siblings or whatever or your friend can be able to go into your community and do the same type of discernment, the same type of exegesis, interpretation, neighborhood walk to be able to understand what God is doing in your neighborhood, because that is the place that He has put you in. Because there's also not just the place, but what is the context? The context of Southwest Edmonton. The context of South Edmonton has changed, hasn't it? It's changed in the sense that we have more people in Edmonton than we did 10, 15, 20 years ago. Way more people. The traffic that we experience every day is not just the construction. It's the amount of people that are driving, isn't it? We have a lot of people within Edmonton. So our context has changed, and there's developments and there's growth that has happened. And we live in an ever-changing, diverse context within Southwest Edmonton. Or wherever you live, chances are it's a fairly diverse context when it comes to religion, when it comes to race, when it comes to socioeconomic categories. It's very diverse. And so that is a part of Edmonton culture. And we can say, oh, I don't like it. Who cares if you don't like it? It is. So learn your context, embrace your context, and learn how to minister in your context. Because sometimes there is this part where we need to understand culture that is around us. When one would go on into missions and become a missionary, one of the things they do is they study the country that they're going to. They study the culture. They study the language. They study the food. They study the habitat, the climate of the context that they're going into before they even go. But what does that mean for us in Edmonton? Because sometimes we've just ignored. We've ignored the culture that we're in. And I know for me, like, there is a huge, like, food culture within Edmonton, isn't there? There are restaurants everywhere here. But what do? I go to the same restaurant and order the same meal just about every time. Creature of habit. But the thing is, that is a resistance to culture, isn't it? And it's not that we just adapt to whatever culture we're in, but we need to understand and interpret the culture that we're in, don't we? Because for me, I like just about any type of food that there is out there, and yet I just don't like making decisions. So I like going to restaurants where people who know the culture, they know the food, and they're like, hey, I recommend this. I'm like, hey, I'm in. That's good. And sometimes it really works. Sometimes not so much. But anyway, and then sometimes they, because they order for me, I'll go back there. I'm like, I don't remember what I had. And I have to try it all over again. And it's just this overwhelming experience. But anyway, there is an aspect where we need to understand, we need to interpret, we need to immerse ourselves in the culture that there is around us to be able to interpret it, to be able to see, okay, who lives around me? Who lives near me? What are they like? What do they like? And what I love is sometimes you walk by someone's house, and you're like, oh, supper smells good. I want to try that, right? That's a part of culture, is food. But it's not where it ends. That's just the beginning. Because each and every person has a different culture within their home. And then you bring all of the other aspects that I'll get into a little bit. Because there's a thing about learning about culture is that learning something new requires us sometimes to unlearn certain things. When we learn a new way to do something, we've always done, to try something completely different, we need to first unlearn things because we've always done them that way, right? We've always done them that way. Here's one thing that we can unlearn. One thing is that when we invite you to stand, it doesn't mean you have to, like for worship or anything like that, it doesn't mean you have to stand the whole time. If you're tired, and if it works for you to be able to worship God while you're sitting down, you're like, man, I just had a really long week. I just need to like meditate here a little bit. That's okay if you need to sit. It's okay, right? Because it's sometimes hard to stand still and to worship God and to sing all at the same time. Some of us just can't even do it, right? We can't clap and sing at the same time. That's okay, right? But we can unlearn the certain things that just because we say stand doesn't mean you have to stand. Just because we say sit doesn't, well, probably sit, because then you're going to be standing and you'll look a little bit stand up-ish while we're all sitting, right? But if you feel that you need to sit, because some of us have, you know, like ailments or whatever, and it's okay if you need to sit. That's totally okay. And we can unlearn that, right? That's a very, very superficial, small thing. But you see, we have assumptions within our lives. We make assumptions towards other people. We make assumptions in certain situations. And we make judgments about others that just don't really make sense, right? I remember one day where I was journeying with this one gentleman who lived in a very small town outside of Camrose when I was pastoring there. And I decided one day I'm going to go out and see him. See, I haven't seen him for a while. He struggles with certain things in his life. And so I was going to just go see him, just see how he is. And so I went to his house. He wasn't there. And so I decided, well, I'm just going to go to the corner store, which is also the post office and the gas station and the grocery store and all the, it had everything. Video rentals, even, because it's a small community and people still rent videos. So I went there and I talked to the lady because I knew that she knew my friend. And I said, hey, have you seen him for a while? No, I haven't seen him for a while. Hopefully you'll be back and I'll let him know you were here. So then I connected with him a couple weeks later and he said, what did you do? I'm like, what do you mean? I just went to go see if I could find you. He said, people were literally like you're the talk of the town. I'm like, well, there's only like 15 people that live here, so that's not a big deal. But tell me more. He said, well, they couldn't figure out why a pastor was on a motorbike. I'm like, well, I know lots of pastors who have motorbikes. What's the big deal? I'm like, well, I don't know. It's just they couldn't wrap their heads around that because they assume that you're too young to be a pastor and that you shouldn't be on a motorbike. I'm like, well, maybe they can just kind of like learn or unlearn, right? But there's assumptions that we make about certain things. People don't say, I'm too young to be a pastor anymore. It's kind of hurtful. It's like, when did that happen? I don't know. But it's one of those things where we have these assumptions within our lives, these assumptions that we make about other people, about roles, about leadership, about what we expect of other people. And sometimes we just need to let those assumptions go, don't we? Or to challenge those assumptions, or to realize, oh, I assume this, but I guess that's not true. Pastors can ride motorbikes. And then we also have these biases, don't we, that when we look at someone, what do we see when we look at other people? What do you see? Sometimes some of us are pretty judgy with how we look at other people. right? Some of us just have these perceptions in our minds of what people should look like and what people should do and how people should act. And we have these prejudices towards other people. And we think, oh, man, this person has that. Okay, they must have this in their life. We have these prejudices. Or sometimes we have these underlying racist issues within our own soul that we just need to challenge and let go. Especially when we live in Edmonton, which has a lot of racial diversity, doesn't it? Which to some of us, it's like, I'm just so confused and I feel overwhelmed. It's okay, fine. But it's the context and it's the culture that you're in. And Jesus wants us to embrace that context and that culture that exists within Edmonton. That means we have a lot of racial diversity, which means that we need to learn how to live that out. Because racism has no place within the Christian life. Or we might even have gender biases towards the opposite gender. Or we might judge others by other principles that we have within our lives. But friends, we need to let go. We need to unlearn the biases that we have towards each other, the biases that we have towards the people in our community, the biases that we have towards the people that live around us in the community of Edmonton. And we also need to adjust our expectations. We have certain expectations about others that prevent us from making a connection with them, don't we? It's like, oh, you said this or you behaved this way, so I don't know if I can connect with you. But really, we could connect with them and just get to know them a little bit. But do we expect others to act and dress and look like us? Because that's not exactly fair, is it? That's not fair. Because there is a greater purpose that God has called us to in aspects of ministry. And what is the greater purpose that God has placed in our lives? Well, it is to love. It's to share God's word, and it's to serve other people. To live lives of integrity. To live lives of compassion towards others. So while there's an unlearning, there's a new learning. In order to learn new things, we need to unlearn. But then we can actually learn. And really, it's that posture of curiosity that we need to have. That when something's different, we're eager to learn about it. Like, oh, that's I've never experienced that before. Can you tell me more about that? Can you tell me more about where you grew up? Can you tell me more about your culture? Can you tell me more about what's in this food that I'm eating? Just a curiosity, not to change it, not to make it like you want, but to know that person, to know that culture, to know other things and to learn new things by being curious. It's not that you're going to change your belief system, but we can be curious about other things in this world to be able to know, okay, God, how do you want me to learn from this? What do you want me to learn from this? And how can I learn new things? And then having an openness. Sometimes we have an open mind. Sometimes we have a closed mind. And for me, I try to have an open mind, an open mindset towards new cultures, towards new things, towards change even. To have an open mindset versus a closed mindset, which says, nope, I believe what I believe. I know what I know. I've experienced what I've experienced, and that's it. No other things. I will not change. This is where I stand. And there's certain aspects in our lives where we need to hold on to the truth, which is Jesus, right? Absolutely. But at the same time, we can have an open mindset to be able to learn new things and how that applies to the scriptures, how that applies to the experience of Jesus. Because sometimes we have this part of our lives where we crave safety within our lives, don't we? We just want everything to be safe, don't we? And there's a safety for me that I want things to be the same. I want things to be predictable. I want things to be boring, and I want it stable, and I want it easy, right? We all have that tendency. It's human nature to want that level of safety. But is that the safety that God has called us to? I don't think so. Because if you look at the example of Paul, if you look at the example of Jesus, what you have is that it's not about safety for me, it's about safety for others, which means that we embrace the differences, that we look into what is, or are open to what is foreign or unfamiliar, that we lean into some things that are hard and challenging, that we sometimes feel a little unstable with what's new, and that's okay to feel a little unstable, to embrace some of the change, and really what it comes down to is being sacrificial. Isn't it? Because sometimes in order for others to feel safer, we need to sacrifice certain things of our safety so that they can feel safe, and to give up certain things within our lives to help that
And that's part of that new learning that God calls us into. And then finally, there's an interesting statement that Paul makes in this chapter where he talks about generosity, that it's better to give than to receive. Now, there is no record of Jesus actually saying those words. You see, like Jesus said, it's better to give than receive. Jesus never said that in any of the documents that scholars have been able to find. But it kind of follows with his character, doesn't it? It sounds like Jesus something might have said, it just might not have been written down. But Jesus talks about generosity. Jesus talks about how it is good to give. And it's the value of Christian living, is to live a generous life focused on giving to others, of giving our time, of giving our resources, of giving our help to others. And it's really why the church exists. The church should not exist for itself, should it? The church exists to share Jesus and the power of Jesus' words and the salvation of Jesus to the world. The church exists to rescue this spiritually and physically with the power of the Holy Spirit, to stay the course and to do the hard work through the power of the Holy Spirit. The church exists to empower others, just in following the example of Jesus of how he empowered others. And the church also exists to give to the world, living a generous life, the power of giving, the benefits of giving that we have. A lot of times we will not find ourselves regretting giving certain things away, will we? And I know that there is a spirit of generosity within this church, and it's absolutely amazing. And I got to say that so many times, I know that you don't need my pride, but I'm so proud of you guys and the way that you give to some of our newcomers and some of the refugees that we've been able to help. And even with our sponsors towards the youth ministry, and how some of our youth can't afford to go to things like retreats, and how those sponsorships have just come in. And there's usually never a need that goes unmet when we put it out to you guys in the challenge. And it's absolutely beautiful of how your generosity is exemplary. And so Paul and Jesus call us to live a life of generosity. And that's a part of this whole adventure. Because if we look at Paul's life and his ministry and how it was recorded, that it is an adventure as he traveled and ministered to so many, a tremendous sacrifice of continually learning new things and being a part of the culture that was around him and speaking into it and sharing Jesus with people and raising up disciples. Friends, that's what we're called into. And it doesn't mean we have to travel. We can just do it right here. We don't even have to go anywhere. We could do it right here. So let's just look at a few questions here as we contemplate the adventure that God has called each and every one of us to. The first question is, what are some highlights of my adventure of faith? Because you've been on this adventure a while. What are some highlights that you have? What is the new adventure that God has for you? Thirdly, what is the new adventure that God has for Grace Point Church? And finally, how can I prepare? How do you need to prepare for this next adventure in your life in our church? Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this adventure that is recorded about Paul. And I thank you that Luke took the time and that you called Luke into recording these things and to giving us highlights of what it looked like for Paul to be on his adventure that you called him into. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to see life, to see our faith, to see our communities, to see our city as this place inviting us into adventure. Lord, help us to be people who are willing to just be open to what you have for us, to be open to what you're calling us into. Help us, Lord, to respond to the calling that you bring us into adventure. Lord, help us to see this life as one opportunity after another, to be able to lean into the power of your word, the power of your spirit, the power of what you call us into, Lord, and to see every part of it, the good, the bad, that's just this adventure that you have us on. And Lord, we trust you. That even though we don't know what lies around the corner, Lord, that you are there.